Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 to 38. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, the ransom for our sins, dear fellow redeemed. I ran across a cartoon this past Monday in the Wisconsin State Journal that wonderfully lays the groundwork for this morning's key thought. Our key thought is found in the front of your bulletin. It's this: let the good news of your Savior's birth light your pathway throughout the new year. In this cartoon, the mother is speaking to her two children playing on the floor. And she says, Hey guys, let's sing one more Christmas carol. And the child said, Why? Christmas is over. The mother says, But it was just yesterday. The child says, Really? It seems like a month ago. And the child says, Or 2 months ago. The mother sighs. She says to her husband, Isn't there some way to make Christmas last? And he responds, Well, you could spread out the payments. So how do you make the essence of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, last? In our text this morning, we have portrayed for us the true meaning of Christmas, the Christ child coming into this world as a Savior. We have two aged people who are perfect examples of showing us how the joy of Christmas can remain in our hearts long after the carols have been sung, long after the presents have been opened and put away, long after the trees have been taken down, and even long after the bills have been paid. Our text takes place 40 days after Jesus' birth. We're told in the Gospel of Luke that at 8 days old, Jesus was circumcised according to the law of Moses. And at 40 days old, he was brought to the temple. This was done for two reasons. One, a mother could not go to the sanctuary until 40 days after she gave birth to a baby. And if it was a firstborn son, he was looked upon as a priest to God. But God had anointed the tribe of Levi to be priests, so the parents would have to redeem their son back. They would do that by taking their son to the temple, bringing some money, and a year-old lamb, and a turtle dove or pigeon. Now, if they were poor, they could just bring two pigeons or two turtle doves instead of a lamb or money. Mary and Joseph were apparently not very well off, and so they brought two turtle doves. Unknown to Mary and Joseph as they walked into the temple on that day, There's a man there waiting for just that moment. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's a devout believer named Simeon. This consolation of Israel literally means the promise that was given to Israel. The promise that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that the Messiah would come from their family. He would be the one who would be the kinsman redeemer, David's son, yet David's Lord, from the tribe of Judah. And even more importantly, this man Simeon somehow had been told by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he had seen with his eyes the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. So Simeon knew that the Messiah would come sometime during his lifetime. Imagine his excitement, his eagerness to get up every morning and to run to the temple and think, maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day. Maybe this morning's the day that I'll see the Messiah. We know how exciting it is to wait for a promise to be fulfilled. Well, this promise was 4,000 years old. Even 2,000 years since God had promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for 1,500 years, the Lord had his prophets proclaim the coming of the Messiah. It's no wonder that when Mary and Joseph walked into the temple and the Spirit knocked on Simeon's heart and said, "There he is," that he went over and took that baby in his own arms and he proclaimed that wonderful verse that we call the Nunc Dimittis. Our theme and our first point this morning is the true spirit and joy of Christmas leads to a life in Christ. Simeon declared, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, as you have promised, Lord." Day after day after day, Simeon clung to this promise that God had given him. Not only that he would see the Christ with his very own eyes, but that this Christ, the Messiah, would be the Savior of his sins. Why was that so exciting? Because Simeon understood what his life was like. It was one unending failure after another to keep God's commandments perfectly as God demanded. Simeon knew that his sins in thought, in word, and action more than enough earned for him a place in hell. And we all need to hear that same thing too. You and I are not as loving and compassionate and concerned and understanding for others as God demands you to be. You and I do not worship and honor and praise God as He demands with all of our heart, soul, and mind. You and I do not live that perfect life in thought, word, and deed that God demands of us. You and I are more selfish than selfless, more sarcastic than sincere, more wanting than giving. You all have earned for yourself eternal damnation and separation from God forever. And so have I. And Simeon knew that too. That's why he was so eager, so excited, so desirous to see the Savior and be able to rejoice in Him. He was clinging to that promise that God had given to him. Someone has said that there's a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is a response to an event. You get a present, you're happy. You win a basketball game, you're happy. You give birth to a baby, you're happy. But joy is different. Joy is that relationship emotion that for the Christian is connected in Christ. So that even though we may not be happy because sad things have happened to us, we've lost a loved one through death, or we're ourselves going through serious illness or disease, or we've lost a job, or a multitude of other bad things happen to us that makes us sad, we can still be filled with joy. The happiness of Christmas may be past. The event is over. The excitement, the anticipation is done with. It's maybe on your camera, your pictures, or maybe on video. But the joy of Christmas still lasts in the hearts of those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who cling to those promises that God made to us in Christ. You can believe that Simeon had more sad days in his life after that day. Maybe even died a very slow, painful death. But yet he had the joy of knowing his Savior. The joy not only of seeing and holding his Savior in his hands, but the joy of knowing that his Savior had come to take away all of his sins and had earned for him forgiveness and a peace between his Heavenly Father, a oneness and eternity. That's the promise that joy gives to us. Our second point this morning is the true spirit and joy of Christmas leads to a confession of Christ. Simeon knew the real purpose for this Christ child coming. He foresaw not just a baby in his womb, in his arms. He foresaw what that baby was going to do. He foresaw that he would have to suffer and die upon the cross to pay for the sins of all of mankind, Jew and Gentile alike. We read in our text, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph, his mother, marveled at those things which were spoken about Jesus, about their little baby. The true joy of that first Christmas was in Simeon's heart, and it can be in yours and mine also when we realize and see the real purpose for this Christ child coming to this world. The real purpose? It's a ransom price for our sins. This little baby would shed his blood upon the cross to pay for your sins and mine. The assurance of victory through his resurrection from the grave. The glorious assurance of an everlasting life prepared for us Gentiles, as well as the Jews. Believing these truths makes us more than ready to depart from this life into eternity. But there was a second person there in the temple that saw the baby Jesus. It was Anna. We don't know much about her, but we know enough. She was a prophetess. She was quite old, been a widow for a long time. And when she saw Jesus, we're told, she went to tell all in Jerusalem who were waiting for the redemption. The Christmas joy lived in her heart long after she saw the baby Jesus in that temple that day, because she gave it away. We mentioned this now twice, last Sunday in our Christmas Day service and last night. The best way to keep that joy of Christmas alive in your heart throughout this coming new year is by giving it away. May that be the theme for 2012. Christmas joy every day throughout the year, by daily looking for opportunities to give that Christmas joy away by telling other people about it. How can we have joy in the midst of sadness? Why is there rejoicing even though we see sorrow and grief and losses and sicknesses and death and disasters? How can we be filled with joy when our lives and our hearts are filled with sadness and misery? Because the joy of knowing Jesus has come to take our place. The joy of knowing that this baby Jesus was born for you and for me. That this baby Jesus grew up to be the God-man Savior, who lived that perfect life of obedient love that we could not live, and then who died to pay for the sins of every one of us, and has assured us of an everlasting home in heaven. It's a wonder that Joseph and Mary marveled at these words of Simeon as they looked at their tiny little baby, 40 days old, and all that Simeon told what was going to happen to him. And we too can only wonder in amazement as we realize and appreciate the feeling of peace that the Holy Spirit fills us with through the gospel when we face the frustrations in life and the fears of death. I wonder, first of all, at the great love of our Heavenly Father, that He would give up His greatest treasure, His Son, as the greatest gift to us. Wonder at His Son's willingness to give up His throne in heaven and to come down to this earth and become a human being like you and me. Wonder at His great obedient love to His Heavenly Father, that He was obedient to the point of even dying upon the cross and being damned by His Father for your sins and my sins. Wonder with amazement that He came to pay a debt that He didn't owe for people who had debt that they couldn't pay. By the beginning of next week, all this will be gone. Decorations will be taken down. Presents will be maybe broken, put away, or worn. And all the Christmas activities will be done for another year. But the spirit and the joy of Christmas can remain in our hearts next month, 6 months from now, next fall, by remembering the joy of Christmas, the joy of the Christ child, that He came for me. He came to live and die for me. He took my place. He sacrificed Himself for me so that I could live eternally. Then the year 2012 will be filled with the spirit and the joy of Christmas, and we'll be able to do what the Apostle Paul encouraged his believers in his day: be joyful always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then Paul wrote, I'll say it again, rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.